Magid. So I want us to discuss how Magid should be done practically. You're all mature adults who very soon will have your own families who you can lead a Seder with. And so I want us to discuss how Magid plays itself out. Those of you who have been to our Seder know that I actually do this at our house. You have kids of different ages. So you have the two-year-old, doesn't understand anything anyways when it comes to Pesach. So you just make them feel like they're a part of it, and when possible, you put them to sleep. They're not going to get anything from being around. You have the three-year-old that's not too much different. You could tell me Paro was a bad man, and tonight is Pesach, and so we eat matzah, and you drink a little grape juice, and you put him to bed. Then you have the five-year-old. The five-year-old can already start understanding what's going on. So you're going to tell the story on the five-year-old level, be it a boy or a girl. And the way it works is you have to talk on everyone's level, the adults, the children, the five-year-old, the seven-year-old, the 12-year-old. So you begin with the five-year-old, because they're going to lose their attention. And Chazal wanted us to rush through Nagada, to rush home and say Kiddush, to rush home and start the Seder, so that the kids won't fall asleep, so they'll hear the story. So you're going to talk to each child on their level once they're old enough to understand. And before we discuss how you do that, I want us to appreciate how important this night is, the Seder night. I remember as a teenager, my friends and I would have conversations whether we believe in Judaism or not. We'd have philosophical discussions, and we weren't too convinced. We would ask questions, and we would challenge one another. And at one point in the course of the conversation, so one of us said, you know, if all of this Judaism thing is true, why don't our parents sit us down at one point and say, son, I'm going to tell you what my father told me, that his father told him, that his father told him, all the way back to Sinai, this is what happened. If this is such a strong tradition, why don't they do that? And then after a few minutes, one of us realized, hey, they do. That's what happens on the Seder night. That's exactly what's happening on the Seder night. The Kuzari speaks about the importance, and we have to appreciate the importance of this night. It's the most important night of the year. In fact, you're not only giving over to the child, hey, I want to tell you what my father told me, that his father told him. All of the Jewish people are doing the same thing tonight. We're all saying the same Haggadah. You asked me a beautiful question earlier. Sfardim Ashkenazim, do we say a different Haggadah? There are minuscule differences. Differences of a letter here and a letter there. We're saying the same Haggadah. So that means Jews all over the world go to Yemen. See the Jews there who've been out of contact with us for a few centuries. They're all saying the same Haggadah. This is our tradition. And what we're giving over to the child is, number one, we're telling him, son, I want you to know this is who we are. This is where we come from. These are the miracles Hashem did on our behalf. Number two, very important, and kids get this, you'll be surprised, but after I said it 1 year, the kids always know the answer when I ask the question. I ask them, why are we doing this tonight? Why do we do tonight the whole Seder? Let's do it on Rosh Hashanah. Let's do it on Sukkot. What's unique about tonight? So I tell it to them, and then they really catch it, because it's a very powerful point. Tonight's anniversary. Tonight's when it all happened. When we sit with the kid, we're telling him on the Jewish calendar, this is when the Jews left Egypt. Tonight. Tonight the firstborn were killed, and in the morning we left Egypt. This is the anniversary. So that's why I'm giving you over this message. Now, just a practical point. At our house, so the kids play marbles and the kids play all kinds of games. They have a lot of games, Baruch Hashem. There's one thing which they don't have, and that is nuts. All year long, I don't give them nuts in the shell. And they know that in honor of Pesach, I buy walnuts in the shell, and I buy, what are the little brown ones? Hazelnuts in the shell. Okay? Hazelnuts in the shell and walnuts. And then, on the Seder night, anyone that asks a good question gets a walnut. Every walnut is worth two hazelnuts. And all of Pesach, they can eat whatever they want from the walnuts they've gotten and play instead of marbles, they play with walnuts and hazelnuts. Comes the last day of Pesach, I collect whatever's left. Whatever they haven't eaten yet, I collect. I give it to the poor, I do whatever I do with it. It doesn't stay around the house. So it's unique for Pesach. It's an ancient custom. That's a quote in Shulchan Aruch. It goes back over a millennium. That we do this with the kids. We give them out nuts in honor of a holiday, and they know that's unique for the holiday that they get these nuts. So the kids will walk around all year long collecting questions because they know at the Seder night, if they ask me a question and it's a good question, I say, great question, and I toss them a hazelnut or a walnut. So the kids spend the Seder collecting nuts, and they get rewarded for the questions they ask or the good answers that they give. And you'd be surprised, the adults who come to the Seder also want their nuts. Hey, I want a nut. Wasn't that a good question? Yeah, okay, fine. They get a nut too. So I buy packs of hazelnuts and walnuts in their shells. And this is a way of making the Seder much more fun. And it's important. We want the Seder to be fun. The way the Seder should play itself out is that it's the most exciting, most fun night of the year. In our house, for example, kids are never allowed to drink Coke. My children get hyper from drinking Coke. But there's one night a year when they're allowed to drink Coke. The Seder night. They know that. They don't drink coffee. But on the Seder night, they're allowed a little bit. On Shavuos night, they're allowed a little bit. So that makes the Yom Tov exciting for them. These are things I'm telling you because I think they're good things to incorporate. They make the Seder exciting. So now we come to Maggid, and our goal in the Maggid is to talk to each one on their level. So let's see. We begin with the five-year-old. So there's one thing which I do at this table, and I apologize to the listeners. Pull your ears away from the headphones for a second. Shouldn't blast in your ears. At some point during the Seder, when we're talking about what happened in Egypt, give me 1 second, I pull off my belt.
Give a little taste of slavery.
Right.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I say to the kids, I hit on the table, so I apologize to the listeners, pull the headphones away from your ears. And when I talk about the slavery in Egypt, I do this. And I go to them, you know, the Egyptians would whip us. They had whips like this made of leather. And to the five-year-old, I can't talk to a five-year-old about what happened 3,000 and some odd years ago. They don't understand time. So I say, this is what they did to Abba. They say, I tell them this happened to me. This is one of the differences between Sephardim and Ashkenazim. We'll see later on that we tell over the story as though it happened to us. We tell over the story as though this is what happened to me when I left Egypt. So when we tell the story to a five-year-old, we say there was a bad man. What was his name? And the kids usually will tell you, Paro. And you'll say, right. And he hit Abba, and he hit the Jewish people, and he made us work very hard. And then Hashem came and did great miracles and took us out of Mitzrayim and brought us here. And today we have a beautiful life because of what Hashem did to us. Great. That might be the most a five-year-old or a four-year-old can understand. You talk to a child who's a little older. You tell them, you take the small matzah, the broken matzah, and you say, you see this bread? This is what our grandparents ate in Egypt. You know, they were so poor, the Egyptians wouldn't let them eat normal bread. You see this broken piece of matzah? This is what we ate in Egypt. You tell the child, that's holach ma'anya de'achalu avatana ba'ar de'mitzrayim. This poor man's bread that our parents ate in Egypt. Now, you know, today we're so much better. Today we could even invite other people to the table. If anyone's hungry, they could join us. Here you continue. Kol dichvin, whoever's hungry, yete viechu, shouldn't come and eat. That's what you're telling the kid. Look at how Hashem has blessed us. We could even invite hungry people. Kol ditzich, whoever is in need, yete vivzach, let him come and join our Passover with us. And then you tell the kid, and this is another message which we really will focus on after the meal. And that is, look, the world's not yet perfect. I know. Hashem took us out of Egypt, but now we're still here. We're not in Israel. We don't have Jerusalem rebuilt. So you tell him, Hashatah, even though this year we're here, L'shana Babar di Israel, we still believe next year's still going to be better. We're going to be in Israel. Hashatah Avde, even though this year we're not yet free, the people of Israel, we have who to answer to. L'shana Babane Chorin, next year we anticipate we will be completely free. So this is the message. Now, we will discuss as we get there in the Haggadah the importance of that message. After benching, the importance of talking about the future. And now we're up to the Manishtana. Guys, you with me so far? Yes? Okay. Go ahead.
Is there such thing as a hefsek during this part of the Seder?
No. You could talk about whatever you want. We try to say all the words, but you notice how I told the story without the Hebrew. And that's what I do with the little kids. I read the Halach Manya, but I really first discuss it with the kids without the wording. They don't understand the Aramaic. So I tell them, I tell the kids, you see this bread? This is what we ate in Egypt. Now, Dvar Torah time, okay? We're pausing for a Dvar Torah. Yes? Okay. There was a Rishon before the time of Ibn Ezra who was incarcerated in Egypt. And when he was incarcerated in Egypt, they fed him matzah. They made him bake matzah and they fed him matzah. And he asked them why. He said, why are you feeding me matzah here? And they explained to him that matzah is quick to bake and slow to digest. It causes people to be constipated. So it's the ideal food for a prisoner. You don't have to make a lot because the guy is constipated. You don't have to, it's quick to bake. So he said that perhaps, and this opinion is then later on quoted by many commentaries, he said, why were the Jews eating matzah in Egypt? Before we left Egypt, later on we say the matzah represents freedom, right? Because we rushed out of Egypt and we didn't have time to delay, so the bread didn't have time to rise, and so we ate matzah. But yet you see the matzah is also called the bread of affliction. So he suggested that maybe matzah has a dual role. In some parts of the Seder, it represents the slavery, and that's why it's called lechem oni, poor man's bread, because in Egypt, that's what we ate. That's what you just said, the bread we ate in Egypt. And in other parts of the Seder, it represents the freedom, that when we ran out of Egypt, then we ate matzah because we were rushing out to freedom. So that suggestion, that dual nature of matzah, will show up throughout the Seder. Gentlemen, okay? So that's a quick dvartoria for the Seder. Yes?
When the Seder, as we know it,